go rebuild my church, which as you can see is falling into ruins." These are the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi from an image of Christ on the crucifix at San Damiano in 1205 AD. These same words inspired Peter Doan, the host of the program you're about to hear. Peter challenges all of us to rebuild not the brick and mortars of our church buildings, but our personal faith and relationships that will rebuild and strengthen the church. Now here's today's program.
Hi, I'm Peter Doan.
And I'm Leslie Doan.
And you're listening to the radio broadcast, Go Rebuild My Church. In this broadcast, we explore ways to put into practice the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi by our Lord Jesus, and how this theme is relevant as we seek to bring renewal to the church today.
Our passion for renewal was ignited when we came home to the Catholic Church 14 years ago, and that's when we heard the call to rebuild and joined efforts with many other renewal movements within the church.
You can learn more about our journey home and our lay apostolate dedicated to renewal in the Catholic Church by visiting our website at www.catholicdiscipleshipministries.org.
Our prayer is through the ministry of this radio program and our lay apostolate, we can provide pathways for you to join the rebuilding process and experience renewal.
We want to welcome listeners joining us for the first time today. In our broadcast, we look at the Sacred Scripture, excerpts from the Catechism, we'll do that today, the lives of the saints, and the teaching of the church as we seek to challenge individuals, families, and local parishes to rebuild and renew the Catholic faith here in America.
Well, today we continue our series, Rebuilding a Missional Church. We've been hearing a lot about being prepared to go on mission, right, Peter?
Amen.
Peter and I have shared what we believe is critical truth about the Lord's purposes for his people. His heart is both to build and rebuild his church here on earth. He's a builder and a rebuilder. And we saw this as a constant theme in the Old Testament. We looked at several scriptures over the past couple weeks where the Lord promised to rebuild his people as well as their structures. We also spent some time discussing the book of Nehemiah, and that's a wonderful picture of God's people being called to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem after they had been destroyed by the Babylonians. Nehemiah is a prophetic picture of us for the need to rebuild, and as we're witnessing the decline in Catholicism in the West, we too are in a time in church history when God is calling us to rebuild. And this series hopefully is helping us to see the path to rebuilding a missional church.
Yes, Leslie. So we've established that rebuilding a missional church begins not with events, programs, or guest speakers, although these can be very important to renewal. But rather, it begins when individuals, including clergy, consecrated religious, and the lay encounter Jesus Christ based on the patterns that we see and talk about in the Blessed Mother and her fiat, St. Peter's confession that we've talked about at Caesarea Philippi, and St. Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus. This is the first step. This encounter after conversion leads to a second critical step that we've been talking about, developing a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. A personal relationship with Jesus provides the foundation to be a disciple who's ready to go on mission. And Leslie, if we stop and think about it, Jesus spent 3 years developing his personal relationship with the disciples. And it was only then that after that he said, "Go ye therefore into all the world."
I think that's a very important point.
Yes. Now, last week, we made the point that the idea of having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is a Catholic understanding first, and not something that's novel with evangelicals.
Yes, many Catholics think it's only evangelicals that focus on having a personal relationship, and that's not true.
Right, we're going to show that in a minute here. Yet in many ways, we in the Western modern Catholicism have neglected the personal response to faith. If I'm a Christian, I'm called to have a close, intimate, and personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. In other words, nobody else's faith can get me to heaven or make me holy, right? It's got to be my own. Faith must freely be chosen by each disciple of the Lord Jesus, thus making it personal. We need not be afraid of such language. In fact, as Leslie mentioned a few weeks ago, the Lord does not have any grandchildren. In other words, we cannot go to heaven on our parents, friends, past teachers, or even pastors' faith. We need our personal faith and fiat.
Well, we also took some time last week to share some quotes from the popes and saints, and it's inspiring to know that a common theme among them was the importance of having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, here are some new quotes to ponder on this important fact.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one from Pope Francis. Being a Christian means having a living relationship with the person of Jesus. It means putting on Christ, being conformed to him. That's a personal relationship with the Lord.
Yes, Leslie. And here's one by Pope St. John Paul II. It is necessary to awaken again in believers a full relationship with Christ, mankind's only Savior.
And we also can hear this from Pope Benedict XVI. Christian faith is not only a matter of believing that certain things are true, but above all, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
And then also Pope Benedict again hits on this, Leslie. Only in this personal relationship with Christ, only in this encounter with the risen one, do we truly become Christians. That's pretty hitting the nail on the head on this whole area, isn't it?
I think we're making the point.
Yes. And finally, the Catechism. And through our research, I did not know that this particular phrase was in the Catechism. But listen to this in paragraph 2558, Leslie. It says this: the mystery of faith, then, requires that the faithful believe in it, that they celebrate it, and that they live from it in a vital and personal relationship with the living and true God. There it is in the Catechism. This relationship is prayer. And then, interestingly enough, Vatican II also emphasized the importance of having a personal relationship with the Lord. It says this: the conversion must take place as an initial one, yet sufficient to make a man realize that he's been snatched away from sin. I like that, being snatched away from sin and led into the mystery of God's love, who called him to enter into a personal relationship with him in Christ. For by the workings of divine grace, the document says, the new convert sets out on a spiritual journey, by means of which, already sharing through faith in this mystery of Christ's death and resurrection, he passes from the old man to the new one, perfected in Christ. Leslie, that comes from the decree on missionary activity in Vatican II.
Well, Peter, this last quote leads us into the final part of our sharing last week. Our personal relationship with Jesus grows and is enhanced by imitating how he modeled his relationship to his Father. And we learned last week the key point that he spent time alone with his Father. Jesus again becomes our model, and out of his humanity, we learn how to have a personal relationship with our Lord. And this was a new insight for me personally, Peter. I had never really looked at the scriptures and thought about how Jesus was relating to his Father and how I should be relating to the Lord like this.
Yes, we see Jesus throughout the Gospels, Leslie, relating to his Father many times in a very private way. When he went out in the wilderness after his baptism, he was spending time with the Father for 40 days. After a hard time of work with the disciples, he told them to come apart for a while. There was a time when John the Baptist, his cousin, was beheaded, and Jesus went away, obviously, to grieve over John. Also, before he chose his disciples, it said he spent the whole night in prayer. Several examples of that.
Well, we're going to take a short break now, and when we return, we will look at the next step in rebuilding a missional church, how to develop our story and begin to tell it others, because the Lord wants us to go on mission. So please stay with us.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
Alexa, what's the weather forecast for today?
Alexa, what time is the Colts game today?
Alexa, remind me to pick up the dry cleaning tomorrow.
Has Alexa become a part of your daily routine? Then make sure that routine includes Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Quick, easy access to Catholic programming 24/7. Just say, Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to our radio program, Go Rebuild My Church. Today we are continuing our series of broadcasts, Rebuilding a Missional Church. In our last segment, we discussed how having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is foundational to our Catholic faith. We also saw how Jesus modeled for us how to enhance our personal relationship with Him. We follow the model that He gave us in His relationship to His Father. Now, we want to see that out of that personal relationship to Jesus Christ, the Lord calls us to develop our story about our relationship with Him so we can go and tell others.
Yes, Leslie. When we learn to communicate the story of our personal relationship with Jesus Christ, which we've been emphasizing and talking about, and then we do it in our own words and our own experience, I believe that the power of the Holy Spirit is and will be released. Now, we want to learn how to share our experience of Christ in a humble, honest, and a very natural way, though.
Well, Peter, I know you've done some research on this, so we want you to tell us more what makes someone's personal story so powerful. I know you've also worked with evangelization teams, parish staffs, and leaders in the Diocese of Lafayette on just how to develop and share one's own personal story. But why is this such a powerful way to introduce someone to Christ?
Right. So our stories really make the gospel believable to non-Catholics, to non-Christians, and also non-practicing Catholics. And this is really the first step in becoming a witness, I believe. Just think about it. We all were raised on stories. Let's stop and think about that. Bedtime stories, fables, cartoons, and fairy tales from the moment that we were born. When someone begins to tell a story, it sets certain expectations in our minds. Now, Kendall Haven, in his book Story Proof, says this: the steady diet of stories that children experience modifies the brain to render it more predisposed to think in story terms. That's pretty amazing. Our brains then are hardwired for stories.
And I think that's why in our homilies on Sunday, we always enjoy the stories that our priests tell us.
Yes.
Week after week.
Yes. Multiple studies show that stories have a unique effect on our brains. Researchers will tell us that stories cause the brain to produce oxytocin, which is a chemical related to feelings of empathy and a desire to cooperate. Very interesting. Multiple studies also tell us that when we hear a story, it triggers the same areas of the brain that are stimulated when we experience an event. Stop and think about that for a minute, that our brains, as far as they're concerned, there's little difference between story and experience. And again, if our listeners want to learn more about this, Leslie, they can go to that book that I mentioned by Kendall Haven called Story Proof.
So, Peter, when I hear someone's story, it triggers something in me. I think that's what I hear you saying. And as you're sharing your conversion and faith story, the listener puts themselves inside that story and starts to relate to it.
That's exactly right. The listener is asking themselves what they would do in a similar situation, how it would look for them with God working in their lives. Now, lastly, stories stick with you even more than statistics do. And you know we love statistics, but stories stick with people more than statistics. An experiment, a matter of fact, was done with a group of university students. They were given a series of presentations and then tested on what they retained. 63% of them remembered the stories that they heard, but just 5% could recall statistics that they had heard. So stories stick, and they sow the seeds of the gospel in the hearts of those who are hearing.
Well, not only do stories stick, but stories break down walls with people, help us connect with them, and make an impact for the Lord. And I think few things are as dynamic as the story of how Jesus Christ has changed your life. And we see this in St. Paul's example. What did he tell over and over again as he was spreading the gospel throughout Asia Minor? Well, he told his conversion story. So where, Peter, can we share our conversion stories? Where can we start?
Well, let's say if we stop and think about all the times in parish life when we may have an opportunity to share our stories in the RCIA, in marriage preparation, in catechism classes, in youth groups, in confirmation preparation, in the classroom, if a parish has a school, and sitting down with another couple, even at the annual fish fry that happens during Lent. Your story is one of the most powerful witnesses you have. And recently, in the Office of Catechesis in the United States Council of Catholic Bishops, Leslie, they put out a new directory. And in that directory, they began to challenge us in our catechesis to begin to share the kerygma as well. And in the kerygma, we have the opportunity to tell the story of how the kerygma has really affected our lives as well.
I know, Peter, you also had me come to an RCIA retreat, a day of reflection, and you asked me to share my story there. And throughout the time that you were leading RCIA, you had that as a regular part of your day of reflection. You'd have different presenters come in and share their story.
Yes.
And then I think also at marriage prep, when you were meeting with couples one-on-one, you would often share your story with them as well. And then lastly, when you think about all the parents that come through our catechism classes, confirmation prep, many of those parents need to have their faith reignited.
Yeah, exactly. So, Leslie, why don't you talk to us a little bit about our experience with Alpha in a Catholic context, because we had an opportunity to do a lot of stories in that regard.
I know. Alpha does a great job with incorporating conversion stories and their witness. And Alpha in a Catholic context is one of the ministries that we've been involved with over the years. And their mission is to help people discover and develop a personal relationship with Jesus. Alpha creates a space for people to engage in an honest conversation about life's biggest questions, like, who is Jesus? Why did he have to die on the cross? Mm-hmm. Does prayer really work? Questions like this. And in each session, they have a thought-provoking video. They're very well done, and a question that's focused on the question of the night. But one of the things that they do masterfully is each video includes a personal conversion story. And these stories are, wow, like they're eye-popping.
And those are the ones that you really can see connecting with the people at the tables.
And then as we've led the Alpha series over the years, then in the discussion that ensues, we often talk about the story, and then we have an opportunity to tell our own story and how the Lord has changed our lives. And I think this is what makes the most lasting impression on those attending and spurs a lot of discussion.
And Leslie, I still have memory of people even crying at the tables as they reflected on the stories that were given in the presentations, but also the stories that were given by the table leaders as well.
Okay, listeners, please stay with us now. You don't want to miss the next segment, because when we return, we're going to continue with our series, Rebuilding a Missional Church, and share some practical tips on how you can write your own conversion story.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood, in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
Wheels keep turning. Time keeps ticking. The wise keep learning. God keeps teaching. Use your moments. Learn well. Catholic Radio Indy.
You're listening to the radio program, Go Rebuild My Church, and we're currently in a series of broadcasts called Rebuilding a Missional Church. And we're learning that the heart of God is to rebuild that which has fallen into ruin in our church. Our first pope, St. Peter, he led the way and laid the foundation, confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He shows us the path to Jesus, a verbal confession. That verbal confession then leads us to cultivate a personal relationship with the Lord. And then through this process, the Lord is creating within us, as Catholic believers, a story that we can now share with others.
Yes, Leslie, we're going to learn how to write a 3-minute conversion story. An important ingredient to that will be to share who you are and how you came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, like St. Paul did as he went around on his missionary journeys and often mixed in his personal conversion story with the people that he was speaking to.
It's actually quite easy to do. So you're going to actually take some time to write your story on no more than one page.
And yeah, this so is, one page, just a one pager,
right.
Leslie.
And this is what we do when we lead workshops with people in different parishes. Take some time to write in a conversational style. Make it as if you're talking with a friend, and no one else is actually going to read your story or correct it, so you don't really need to worry about spelling and grammar. You just want to aim to tell in no more than 3 minutes how you came to the decision to follow Jesus Christ. And remember St. Peter at Caesarea Philippi when he acknowledged that Jesus Christ was the Son of the living God.
Yes, now here's some practical tips that you should keep in mind as you begin to think through your personal story. First of all, keep clearly in mind what the content of the gospel is. We're focusing on the work of Jesus Christ on the cross and how that has personally affected and changed our lives. We should write in the first person using I and we.
And me,
yes.
The first person, I and me.
Yes. And also, we write in such a way that others will be able to identify with us, which is so important. And we offer enough detail in this one pager, Leslie, to arouse their interest.
It's also important to try to use sacred scripture and insert a quote that illuminates something that happened to you, a quote, and quote that scripture from memory when you have a chance to tell your story.
Right.
Don't be too wordy. I tend to be wordy in everything I do. Remember, 3 minutes is the max, and do not focus on necessarily how bad you were apart from Christ and his church. I mean, if you want to share about the darkness that you were in when you were separated from the Lord, that's fine, but don't make that the whole focus of your story.
Right.
Because the goal is ultimately to share about Jesus and the kingdom of God.
Right.
And then don't present your life now as a bed of roses. Be honest. If they know other Christian followers, they're going to know that we're not perfect.
Right. And if we think about it, Leslie, there's two different streams of thinking when you create your story. If your commitment to Jesus Christ happened as an adult, it makes sense to write what we call a chronological story. This tells what you were like before you put your trust in the Lord, how you were converted or reconverted, and how your life has changed since your dedication what came to Him. If your commitment, on the other hand, to Jesus Christ began in childhood, like many do, this is called a thematic testimony. This approach focuses on how the Lord has made a difference in dealing with a problem or challenge in your life that you hit along the road and along the journey. The emphasis is how the Lord can meet our needs, right, and give us a purpose for living.
Well, we also have opportunities to share our story with others outside the church. We talked a little bit of how we can do it inside the church with people who may not know Christ. So, Peter, talk to us about an open door that God gave you just last week and how you approached the situation. We call these divine appointments.
Yes, as you mentioned, Leslie, just last week, I had the opportunity to share a little bit of my own story with someone who had been doing some work around our house. And he had worked during the month of May, and I owed him money for the work that he had done. And I tried to reach out to him. I texted him, I called him, and I couldn't make any connections. I never got a call back. And I wondered, gee, what's going on with this young man? And I really was convicted that I wanted to get his money to him because I thought he could use it. So time passed. After 3 months, after trying to contact him, we finally just ran into him a week ago.
Uh-huh. And we stood there and we were talking with him. And I asked him, hey, where have you been?
And he said to us that he'd been in jail
right.
the last 3 months.
He'd gotten into trouble with the law.
Yes. And I said, well, listen, I really want to give you the money that I owe you. I don't have the cash here right now because I wasn't expecting to run into you. But I'd like you to come down to my house and visit with me, and we'll give you what we owe you. So shortly after that, the next weekend, he came down to the house, and between that first conversation, Leslie, and the time that he came, I really felt the Holy Spirit started to work in me and say, this is a divine appointment.
And an open door.
Right. And
be ready to share.
Yeah, be ready to tell a little bit of a story to him. So when the young man came to the house last Sunday, I gave him his money and began to share with him that I, too, back in the day, had struggled with some things around drugs and alcohol and some addictions, and that through a series of events, I encountered Jesus Christ. And he shared with me, and I shared as a result of that, he changed my life and gave me a brand new life that I wouldn't have today without that encounter with the Lord.
And it's interesting, once you shared your story with him, how he opened up and connected with you.
Yes, he opened up and he said, well, coincidentally, when I was in jail, a minister came in the jail and began to talk about Jesus. And for some reason, I felt really something different happening to me. After he had left, I began to open up the Bible and read it. And just today, because it was Sunday when I was talking to him, he said, I went to church today. So the Lord was working in his life. And I think my story helped him continue on his journey to move towards the Lord Jesus. And I knew that it was connecting with him because rather than being uncomfortable, he was looking at me in the eye and smiling at me.
Okay, well, we want our listeners to have open doors and divine appointments too and be ready to share their story. So Peter, could you please pray for us right now?
Yes, Leslie, thank you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all that you have done for us. And we thank you that because of this wonderful redemption and paschal mystery that you brought to our universe, you've given us a story. Help each of us, Lord, with our story to stop and think, to begin to not only to put that story together, but to have eyes open for those opportunities that you bring to us, those divine appointments where we can share our story with others. Even if it sows an initial seed, we know that the Holy Spirit is faithful to water those seeds and those persons that we encounter. Lord, help us to be open to this and become missionary disciples in Jesus Christ's name. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, this has been a great program today, and thank you, listeners, for joining us as we seek to connect you as individuals, your families, and parishes to the rebuilding and renewal of the Catholic faith here in America. And make sure to become a regular listener of Catholic Radio Indy. Goodbye for now, and
keep the faith.
You've been listening to Go Rebuild My Church with Peter Doan. Podcasts of this program are available at www.catholicradioindy.org.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.